Hello again, dear listeners. Aeronauts is back again with another episode. Vincent here, and once again, joining me today is Audrey and Boss. So guys, anything special happened during this past week that you want to share with our listeners?
Okay, I'm fine. I managed to play some golf with Vincent. Swing was all over the place, like, actually. So, yeah, and got to also do a small reunion with some friends. That's about it, lah.
Myself, it has been slow. There's nothing much to do, so I just basically just read up on my on catching up on aviation news. That nothing much. That was my simple week. How about you, Vincent?
Same. Spend my time playing golf with Audrey. Managed to play a tournament. Finish in the top 10. That's all.
I feel bad that I'm not a golfer like both of y'all. If not, I would actually join y'all. But interestingly, I'm not really one.
Okay, so
yeah.
Before we begin today's topic, shall we review a little regarding last week's topic?
Yeah.
Who want to review? I mean, who wants to go ahead?
Ulrich, how about you?
Review, for me, I would say it's important for us to prepare our documents before we leave the house. And also know what are the do's and don'ts so that we prepare ourselves not to get in trouble with the authorities and miss our flight. So that's what I have for now.
So on my end, I believe Ulrich has already mentioned almost everything. And my take would be just be early. Don't do what you're not supposed to do. And also be prepared for any unexpected things. That's what I guess I would say.
Yeah. And to add on, always fasten your seatbelt whenever you're in the plane.
Yeah.
So okay, that's just a little review regarding last week's topic. So now let's move on to today's agenda. So today we'll be talking about something more serious. And the topic will be about incidents and accidents in aviation. So firstly, before we start off our topic, we will actually be explaining the terms that will be used in this week's episode so our listeners will be able to understand a little better. So guys, incidents and accident. What defines an incident and what defines an accident? What are the difference between these two?
For me, incident is something other than an accident, not so serious, associated with the operations of an aircraft, which affects the safety of operation and also doesn't involve the loss of life or property. And accident, something associated with the operations of an aircraft that takes place from the time and any person boards the aircraft until the time the aircraft comes to a stop, that involves loss of life or loss of the aircraft.
Boss, anything yet?
Ulrich mentioned about strictly about for aviation, but my general view about incident is something that happened. Yeah, something happens lah. And instead of something happening or an event or an occurrence, an accident is some unfortunate incident that happened unexpectedly, unintentionally, which resulted in damage or injury. That's how I differentiate between incident and an accident.
Okay, then there's another question. So is disaster the same as an accident?
The disaster is actually more severe than accident because it causes great damage and also loss of life in a way. Far greater than accident, actually.
Yeah, I support that statement. Yeah, a disaster is something quite a sudden accident that caused great damage of loss of life or great damage to a particular product or whatever. Yes.
Okay. Actually, I was actually reading some report from the NTSB. So some of the reports actually mention this term, hull loss. So this term is also frequently used when a major accident occurs. So what is this definition of a hull loss?
It's almost the same meaning as total loss, like our cars, let's say accident, we got a total loss, something like that. Meaning, let's say in our case, an aircraft which has been in an accident which is beyond repair, resulting in a total loss. Yeah, that's the meaning for me.
So basically, if the aircraft is not economical to repair, it's considered a hull loss. That's my take on it.
Mm. Okay. So now that I've mentioned NTSB, care to define what does NTSB stands for and what are their roles?
Okay, NTSB stands for National Transportation Safety Board. They are an independent U.S. government investigative agency responsible for civil transportation accident investigation. Not only for aircraft investigation, air crash investigation, or they also do for the railroad and road accidents and incidents. So their role is to investigate and report on aviation accidents and incidents, assist in the military and foreign governments with accident investigation, and to also determine as accurately and expeditively as possible what caused the accident so that necessary steps can be taken to guard against a similar occurrence from happening again.
So how does the NTSB actually go about in their process to actually determine the cause of the incident or accident? Do they have like steps to follow, or how do they do it?
Actually, I'm not so sure, but I've been watching some air crash investigations. They will do some fact-finding, like, in example, they will go and find the aircraft parts or the four corners of the aircraft, like example, the nose, the wings, the two wings of the aircraft, and the tail. So that will determine whether the aircraft is intact or they had an in-flight breakup or something like a cargo door exploded or something like that. So, and then they will get the cockpit and voice recorder and go through that, and also the flight recorder to get all the information of roughly what happened to the flight, and also get some information from eyewitnesses or maybe air traffic control. And then at the end, they will get the summary of the accident and determine of the cause of the accident or incident.
As per what Ulrich mentioned, it's just following guidelines, and they will follow the four cardinal points of the aircraft, that's what he mentioned. So yeah, that's how they will do that. But they will not refer to, they will work along the governments, local governments, to investigation.
Now that we've briefly explained certain terms that we'll be mentioning throughout today's show, let's now talk about some of the incidents or accidents that has happened throughout the year. So February 20, 2021, United Airlines Flight 328, Boeing's 777-200, was flying from Denver to Honolulu. Upon taking off, the flight suffered an engine failure. Debris was scattered all over residential area nearby. A total of 241 passengers were on board, none were injured, nor is anyone on the ground. So the NTSB has just recently issued an investigative update regarding Flight 328. And this update does not contain analysis and does not discuss probable cause in this ongoing investigation. The information in the update is preliminary and subject to change as the investigation continues. So guys, this incident, Flight 328, the investigation is still ongoing, but what are the facts or evidence that they have managed to gather so far?
What I know is they gathered recovered some parts of the aircraft that have fallen onto one of the, I think, township or something like that. They recovered the fan cowling and door cowling, engine cowling or something like that. And also they gathered some data from the flight data recorder, where after the crew advanced the throttles to minimize time in the turbulence while climbing, there was a loud bang. I think that's where the engine exploded in flight, and then the engine made an uncommanded shutdown, and then the engine fire warning activated. So that is roughly what they have for now, and they found out that the low pressure compressor blades on the affected engines was, I think, fatigued.
So they actually did, I mean, this is the latest information that I got from the NTSB website. So they just mentioned that, I quote, inspection identified multiple secondary cracks indications within an inch of the fracture surface, in the same cavity as the fatigue failure origin. The low the fan blade that is outside is actually the low pressure compressor. Those blades actually broke.
Okay, so I actually saw somewhere what were the flight crew's action, you know, when this incident happened. So initially, when the incident happened, the flight crew actually declared mayday emergency request, you know, to return to the airport. Mm-hmm. Then while they were flying, bringing the airplane back into the airport, they actually complete the checklist. They even complete the engine fire checklist. You know, even discharge the fire extinguisher bottles. Mm-hmm. Eventually, the flight crew, you know, they said, hey, we need to do an emergency landing. So they elected not to dump fuel and just came in overweight.
Mm-hmm.
Overweight. So eventually, the captain actually accomplished the one engine inoperative approach and landed the plane without any further incidents. If you guys were the one flying and similar incident would happen, what would you have done?
I mean, like, we all have, we are trained to do. We will first aviate, navigate, and communicate. That's the thumb rule. So first, we'll do the secure the engine problem. So we do the one engine in operative procedure. When the engine is secured, then we will navigate and see where are we, and then do we need to do an emergency landing, as it, like in this case, and then we'll tell the tower, okay, we need to land as soon as possible because we have an engine failure. So, yeah, and then do the checklist. That's it.
On my end, I would say follow SOP as per the book. When I say SOP, as in standard operating procedure, as per the book, and follow what we are trained. Because previously, in the previous episode, Vincent mentioned about base check. So this is what we actually do. We will do engine failure at takeoff. We will do engine engine fire at takeoff and abort takeoff and all these things. So just follow as per book and do what we were trained. And I wouldn't do anything much different, I guess. I would probably do the same to get the plane on the ground as soon as possible, provided with the limitations met lah.
Also, one more, we need to also have the crew CRM, crew resource management to work together and
Which is quite essential. Very, very essential to have a proper CRM.
So you guys are saying that, you know, the captain has done everything right, lah. You know, there's nothing that you guys could have done better.
Since the report was not very clear cut, I would say he did what he was trained to do. All humans, we have our own way of thinking, and I wouldn't know how I would react to that situation. Probably I would react the same. I might have done differently, but it's as pilots overall speaking, we are actually like trained to actually don't think, do, and then you do, then you think what you're supposed to do next. You always have to be ahead of the aircraft, not behind the aircraft. Probably that's what would have happened to that captain. Like, he did shut down the engine, secure the aircraft, and then proceeded to land.
Anything else to add?
Probably the NTSB result of this incident is they asked FAA to issue an emergency airworthiness directive, which instructed all owners and operators of Pratt & Whitney, PW4077, which is basically the engine type, and similar engines to have better inspection checks on their low pressure blades for cracks and remove the blade from service if it doesn't pass inspection. So that's what they recommended. This is the latest one that I just saw lah. This is what they actually recommended.
Okay, let's move on to another incident. This incident is actually quite famous. I mean, it was actually made into a movie. So the movie title is actually called Sully, and Tom Hanks starred in it. But the actual flight name is actually US Airways Flight 1549, also known as the Hudson River Incident. So this happened in January 15, 2009. So the Airbus 320 bound for Charlotte, North Carolina, ditches in the Hudson River shortly after taking off from LaGuardia Airport, New York City. So multiple bird strikes caused the engine to fail, and all 155 people on board, including the crew, survived. So actually, guys, if I'm not mistaken, some people actually mentioned that the captain had enough time to actually steer the plane back to the airport. Why do you think that he actually eventually made the decision to ditch in the Hudson River?
For me, because at the time they were not at a high altitude, they were quite low, low altitude at the time. Because at that time, when you are low, you don't have much time to, you know, think and maneuver the aircraft in a way. So that's why the best way to save the aircraft and his crew and his passengers is to ditch into the Hudson River, because there's the only, not hit any obstruction or obstacles, and it's safer than landing near the city, you know, or something like that.
I would say Humans' performance limitation, because when something like this happens, for you to react to it takes at least a few seconds for you to realize what's going on. Especially being in such a very routine job. I mean, pilots' jobs are very routine. So when you're doing a routine, like they were doing this particular flight from New York to Charlotte, they were basically very routine flight, and then suddenly, bang. So it's like, for you to realize what is actually going on, the realization is, it'll take you at least a few seconds to realize what's going on. And in that few precious seconds, you can lose a lot of possibilities. That is why Sully didn't have that amount of time for him to go to airports like back to LaGuardia, and then there was another airport like Newark or Teterboro, you know, they couldn't really reach such place because they were, like, as what mentioned by Ulrich, was very low. So yeah, that's my take on it. He didn't have enough time and he was slow. Basically human reaction time, and I wouldn't blame him.
Right. I'm actually looking at this the NTSB report. So they actually state that what contributes to the survivability of the accident? No, one was because the decision making of the flight crewmates and also their CRM during the accident sequence. Two, you know, the fortuitous use of an airplane that was equipped with an extended over water flight, you know, including the availability of the slide raft and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
It's also the performance of the cabin crew, you know, while expediting the evacuation of the airplane. And also fourth, the proximity of the emergency responders to the accident site and their immediate appropriate response to the accident. So all these things actually contributed to all the survivability of the passengers, you know, which eventually made 155 people survive, you know. So, I mean, how important is, like, Audrey has already mentioned CRM, and also maybe, you know, even the cabin crew's reaction to the evacuation. How important are all these things when it comes to emergency?
It is essential for everyone to have to be on the same page in any event. So CRM is, I would say, basically four minds thinking alike, and everybody has to know what the other is actually thinking about. So CRM is very crucial. Essential, I would say.
And what about the cabin crew's reaction to the emergency?
Cabin crew's reaction is, they are trained for this. They know what to do. That is why a lot of times, I think in my few of our previous episodes, I have mentioned that, yes, cabin crew, we always think of them as, you know, like, oh, she's a very good-looking girl, you know, she's only there to serve food, and then if I want, I can get her number, and, you know, we sort of, when I say we, I mean as a general public, I would say, we tend to look down on their profession. That is why I always, I have mentioned in the previous episode saying that they are not there for service. They are there for your safety. So if at all anything happens to you, you are choking, they are there. When fire happens, they are there. When an engine failure happens, they are there. They know what to do. You, on the other hand, if the reason cabin crews are there to just look pretty, why are we having so much of criteria? Why do they have to do every year that for them their license check? Why do they have to do this? Why do they have to do that? Not necessary, what? So it is very. They are trained for this. So their main aim is to ensure your safety from point A to point B. So their decision making and their teamwork managed to get out a total of, including themselves, 155 people within 90 seconds. And if I'm not mistaken, there was a wheelchair passenger also on board. So they managed to even get that guy out. So that is the main job description of a flight attendant.
Okay, so now let's move on. What was the eventual outcome of this incident? Did the captain actually lost his job, or did the NTSB actually put a fault on the captain and the co-pilot or the crew, or what actually happened?
I mean, the captain didn't lose his job, but he carried on for a while more longer, I think, if I'm not mistaken. And the NTSB did put a blame on the pilots actually initially, but then from the movie perspective, the NTSB didn't give enough time for the pilots who are in the simulator to decision making to land at the alternative airports after the bird strike. So where they did successfully land lah. So in the captain's flight, he did not have that privilege lah.
Yeah, the captain didn't have the luxury of time. Like I said, the reaction time, I mean, anyone for that matter, it takes a few seconds for you to react to a certain incident. So theoretically speaking, he can reach it. But the thing is, when he included, when Sally informed the NTSB about putting human factor into it, even the pilots who practiced about 50 times, I'm not really sure, but I remember there's a five in the front. They practiced multiple times, and they managed to reach the airport. And Sally, on the other hand, he only had one try. So, yeah.
I would say, would you recommend them to watch the movie?
I would actually recommend it, yes.
I mean, any aviation enthusiast, I would recommend, because it's something that it's not seen in airline perspective. So in this case, they can experience what it's like to be in the pilot's shoes, or also the cabin or the cabin crew as well.
All right. So the report recommendations done by the NTSB is that the engines to be tested much more for bird strike resistance at low speeds. They also recommended development of checklists for dual engine failures at low altitude. Because if you noticed, even in the movie and even in the actual case before that particular time, they said that they needed 300 knots for dual engine failure, and they were what? At 2,800 feet for them to, you know, and they were on 250 knots. So they couldn't really deal with, better performance. Probably there could be a better performance. I don't know. I would not say it like that. Sorry. And changes to the checklist design in general to minimize the risk of flight crew members becoming stuck at inappropriate checklists or proportions of a checklist. They also recommended improved pilot training for water landings, provisions for life vests in all flights regardless of routes, and changes of locations of vests for other emergency equipment, research into improved wildlife management and technical innovations on aircraft to reduce bird strikes, and research into possible changes in passenger brace positions, because if I'm not mistaken, there was one particular passenger who actually got injured quite seriously. And the last one was research into methods of overcoming passengers' attention during pre-flight safety briefings. Because being frequent flyers, we keep seeing the in-flight safety. Okay, this is your seatbelt. This is how you put it. This is how you don your life jacket. You know, you can blow the whistle, the water lights. Not, I mean, we pay attention, but are we really paying attention to them? So yeah, these were the recommendations that they actually recommended based on the particular incident that happened.
Now that we have already spent some time talking about incidents, let's move on to something many would want to actually avoid: accidents in aviation. So before we actually begin, we would like to offer our sincere condolences to the family of the victims that was involved in the accident that we'll be actually talking about here. So Lion Air Flight 610, guys. Mm-hmm. I think many actually may not know about the flight number, but this is actually the very first incident which involves the 737 MAX. And it's also considered the deadliest air accident involving all variants of the Boeing 737. And it's also the first incident involving the Boeing 737 MAX. So, guys, the 737 MAX, it crashed into the sea 30 minutes after takeoff. 189 people on board the aircraft, 181 passengers, and 6 cabin crew and 2 pilots, all on board died. So, anyone wants to elaborate more on the accident?
Yeah, first of all, the MAX is Boeing's latest addition re-engined aircraft to the 737 family. If I'm not wrong, it's a direct they built this design and built this aircraft as a direct competitor to the latest Airbus 320neo aircraft. Mm-hmm. So in this design, the bigger engines are more further forward and upward, and also more efficient. So in this case, if the engine is bigger and more upward onto the wing, this will tend to cause the aircraft to pitch up more. So in this, so that now Boeing, in this case, they design a new so-called system called MCAS, where it's called maneuvering characteristics augmentation system, were implemented. It is some kind of software that was designed to prevent aircraft nose to pitch up too high, where if not done, the aircraft might go into a stall where the wing has insufficient lift and is not able to sustain flight and the aircraft will fall from the sky. Yeah. The accident took place at Jakarta. So on climb out, the aircraft was giving out warnings that the aircraft was pitching up too high. So this MCAS system was activated. It is activated by receiving data from the left angle of attack sensor, where it measures the position of the aircraft's nose in relative to the horizon. In this case, the MCAS will kick in and lower the nose, but in this case, it dived violently towards the ground, and the pilots couldn't handle it, and the aircraft crashed
into
the ocean.
Speaking of this new system that you mentioned, the MCAS, right, Audrey? Because here, I saw that eventually the US FAA actually issued, FAA and Boeing both issued warnings and training advisories to all the operators of the MAX, you know, so that it can avoid this so-called MCAS to re-trigger again. So, I mean, while these advisories were not fully implemented, the design issues are suspected to be involved in the aircraft to actually nosedive and crash. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently, the same design issues are suspected to be involved in the Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302, right? So, I mean, eventually they decided to ground the airplane. Why is there no like a proper checklist or a non-normal checklist, you know, for in case anything were to happen or in case the MCAS were to trigger?
Because first of all, I think Boeing didn't really implement the MCAS training or include this MCAS new system into the pilots or maintenance manuals. So maybe unbeknown to the MAX crew, they didn't know about this system. But before that incident, the previous day, there was one incident, the same aircraft, on the same aircraft, also the MCAS kicked in the same way. But they luckily they had a new, extra crew member. So that extra captain knew what to do in that case. So it also comes back to CRM. But for Ethiopia, they knew what to do. But for all I know is the aircraft was really diving down to the ground, but they were still in almost takeoff power. Climbing power. So they were overspeeding.
Now that I read the grounding of the MAX aircraft is already almost approaching 2 years. Now it's 2021.
Mm.
So, and apparently they just recently cleared the MAX to fly.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, definitely people are concerned, you know, when they, you know, when they're about to board the airplane, it's like, oh no, it's a 737 MAX series again. What would you actually say to them to give them the confidence or to reassure them that, you know, the 73 MAX is really safe to fly and, you know, there won't be any more incidents like that happening or accidents like that happening?
At this moment, the investigation, they already came out with the results saying that the guidelines that was given to crew about the MAX on how to react to such malfunctions was incorrect. So now they've already redid their guidelines on the checklist and what to do and training as well. And based on the, again, previous statements, they also realized that the MCAS is relying on a single sensor. So now they have made it in a single angle of attack sensor. So they made sure that it's getting from two different sensors. Normally, two or three, lah. That's for a contingency. And they've already redid the programming for the MCAS, so it should not be much more, it should be much more better. And also, they redid their training manuals for the flight crew training. Yeah, so they have already made it much more safer in compared to how it was. They've already updated it, so it's going to take time for passengers to actually get confidence, but they will fly. Actually, to be very honest, many of us, many layman passengers actually do not know the difference between it's a MAX or it's a 747 or it's a 380. They just know it's a big aircraft, a small aircraft, and then it's just another aircraft. They don't really notice if it's a MAX. If I'm not mistaken, even Boeing has mentioned that they're removing the MAX from the Boeing 737. So it's just going to be 737-8, 737-9, 737-10. It's not going to be 737-10 MAX or whatever. They decided to omit that MAX word because of this two incidents that happened.
All right, guys. As a flight crew yourself, how does, I mean, just briefly mention, how does a flight crew prepare themselves if, you know, if such incidents were to happen, like incidents like we have discussed, bird strike or an engine failure or whatnot?
For me, I'll just rely on the training of what we had done and gone through, and also on CRM, crew resource management, work together with the captain and co-pilot to get through this situation. The situation, if it happens.
On my end, as per mentioned by Ulrich, stick to what you have been trained and follow them meticulously. Always follow the golden thumb rules of flying: aviate, navigate, communicate. And good CRM is very crucial. And expect for the unexpected. Hope for the best, expect the worst. That's sort of how I go on my daily life.
Mm. So when you guys, I mean, when Audrey was explaining incident, so before an accident happens, there will always be an incident, right?
Mm-hmm.
So when an incident happens, is there any way to actually prevent the incident from turning into an accident?
We will base it on Swiss cheese model.
Can you elaborate?
Okay, it's something like, we will try to break the chain of events, like, let's say, for example, the first is crew actions forgetting a checklist item, and then pairing two inexperienced pilots together, then fatigue. Last is airline culture places great value of a time management, creating time pressure to get through checklist quickly. So we have to really cut the like break the chain of events, like one of it you have to, you know, maybe change it to pair the captain with maybe an experienced captain with the experienced co-pilot on the, let's say, a Boeing 737 aircraft, so that at least they got a redundancy that, oh, okay, this guy will help the captain out in a way.
Yeah, that's what I can see. Mentioned by him, you know, we have CRM, then there is, I mean, all of us know what a Swiss cheese looks like, right? So there's always a hole leading to another, leading to another. So we have to block those holes. So one of it, like what he said, proper CRM. And then there's checklist, yeah. That, there are procedures.
But
yeah, checklist.
But there's no one aviation course on the, on an accident. I mean, they will have like a built up of causes, like maintenance issue, like the guy didn't, the maintainer didn't screw the nut properly, and then the pilot didn't know about it, and then, or there's one accident where one ATR aircraft crashed into the ocean because the maintenance guys didn't fit the proper fuel quantity indicator, so the pilots thought they were they got the full load of fuel on the aircraft, but actually it's only half. So they only managed to fly half the distance to their destination. So that, so in that way, the aircraft didn't have enough fuel to reach their destination.
Diligence
and
ended
up in the ocean.
Crucial. So that is why this, this cheese model, as mentioned by him, is quite crucial. My take on it would be, we humans can't be perfect. Similarly, the things we create has defects somehow or other, because it's still human-made. If at all, crew or anyone for that matter, if you feel that something is affecting safety, be it aviation or not, inform your company. I'm sure there's a LOSA team in your particular company, so just report it to them. And what aviation has taught me is it is a never-ending process of learning. So you always learn something new every day. And I end it with the same statement I say. No two landings are the same. You always learn something new.
So basically being a pilot is like being a doctor, just that you don't operate on patients on different kinds of sickness. Instead you're working on different kind of plane sickness. So before we conclude today's episode, I will do the summarization. So we actually explain some of the terms used in aviation. Then we talk about NTSB, the National Transportation Safety Board. After that, we discuss about incidents, you know, involving United Airlines Flight 328 and also Flight 1549, which also is known as the Hudson River incident. Then later, we talk about the 73 MAX accident involving the Alliant Air Flight 610, which is also the first accident involving the 73 MAX. So, and also lastly, Boss and Audrey actually shared with us what kind of preparation that they have gone through in the simulator in case any incident happens, and also how to prevent such incidents from turning into accidents. So that's about it from me. Next week's episode will be hosted by Audrey, and the topic will be critical phases of flight. This is all the time we have for today's episode. Hope that you've enjoyed this week's slightly lengthy episode. Please like, share, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at AER0NUTS. On behalf of Boss and Audrey, please stay safe, healthy, and have a great week ahead. Goodbye. I could stay awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you are sleeping, while you're far away dreaming. I could spend my life sweet.